If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Like a fart in the wind, there went Ole Miss's college football playoff aspirations and hopes. Welcome into an unfortunate After Florida edition of Talk of Champions in the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter, X, excuse me. And you can find my stuff at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate on three. Sign up today for the low, low cost of $1. Fortunate for me that because Ole Miss just lost to Florida 24-17. 24-17 in a game that, quite honestly, was just a repeat of LSU. Repeat of some of the same awful habits that became trends against Kentucky, the worst loss for the playoff contenders going into the weekend. And then Ole Miss had the best win against Georgia, 28-10, season defining. Florida is a good football team. Let's get that out of the way right here and now. Ascending, playing well, especially late in season under Billy Napier. Got off the mat, did Billy Napier. He was a dead man walking. And now he's got things humming with a quarterback that's the future of college football in DJ Lagway, who's not even healthy and has now back-to-back signature wins, including one over Ole Miss, 24-17. That it shouldn't have happened because Ole Miss beat itself. Over and over and over again. And that's where we start and kind of finish, because this is a final word edition of Talk of Champions. There are no helmet stickers to hand out. No one won the week. What happened? What we learned? Three big things. Number one, Ole Miss beat itself. Over and over and over again, Ole Miss beat itself. The worst for me, most inexplicable, was Jackson Dart's interception thrown into triple coverage. What is he doing? Jackson Dart was on his way to a legacy game against Florida. He was really on one of the few bright spots offensively. He did so many good things up until win the game time, and then he ended up with multiple interceptions. He at one time was 21 for 29, over 300 yards, and then he ends up 24 for 41. That interception looked like Bo Wallace against LSU that had Hugh Freeze going, "What does he do? What were you doing?" That has them still probably beefing to this day. That was like the 2009 Egg Bowl all over again. And that's the vibes early on in the game. I tweeted it out. Tell me it was any different. Remember that one back then when Ole Miss was so good? If they win this game, they go to the Cap One Bowl. Everybody's spending Christmas at Disney World. That's back when the Cap One Bowl was a big deal just for being the Cap One Bowl. Now, that's not going to be a much of a consolation prize for Ole Miss fans if that's where Ole Miss ends up going, because now their college football playoff chances are down to 4%. With the win, they were 84%. This isn't we are Ole Miss. What went wrong? Number one, three big things we're learning here. Ole Miss beat itself. Like, it beat itself against Kentucky. Like, it beat itself against LSU. As we've been talking about on Talk of Champions, should have been 45-16 win over LSU. We've got it on a spreadsheet, the red zone inefficiency. But today, the inexplicable play calling. It wasn't just Jackson's bad throw. Charlie Weiss and Lane Kiffin, we thought they'd figured it out. Second half against Oklahoma, Arkansas, on to Georgia. They'd figured it out. Ole Miss was looking more themselves. Why was J.J. Pegues running vertically, running to the perimeters, laterally, east and west? He went into the game. It's the right analytical call to give it to him on short yardage. He was the most efficient short yardage running back, I think, definitely in the SEC. Ole Miss's highest graded offensive player, according to Pro Football Focus, because of his efficiency. 12 for 12 on fourth down conversions this year. But it wasn't going east and west. It wasn't using Jackson Dart as a blocker in the most bizarre, inexplicable play call we've seen this year, probably. What was going on out there? It seemed like just a all-out, except for the defense. They played well. I don't care. 24 points, they played great. Micah Davis, I loved the gimmick, the call, and trying him at running back because Ulysses Bentley, they refused to play him. He's returning special teams, kickoff returns again. But Micah Davis, they took him from wide receiver, made him a running back, and put him over Dominic Thomas, and Bentley just didn't play. The highest graded returning running back in the SEC entering the year didn't play when they needed a running back. They ended up running the ball 35 times. Ulysses Bentley didn't get a single one of those carries. Why has he been benched? I feel like this is a Kentucky redux. What I had heard for the longest was he reported overweight in the summer, led to a falling out about a bunch of other things. What are the other things? Make this make sense, because now you have cost yourself the playoff officially. Well, not officially. 4% chance with a 24-17 loss to Florida. Now the personnel questions are going to be all over the place. Trey Harris is not going to play again. Number two, what we learned here in this final after Florida, 24-17, a loss for Ole Miss to drop it to 8-3, 4-3 in the SEC. What did we learn? Trey Harris is probably not going to play another down as an Ole Miss Rebel because he was hurt again. He made his return after missing a month, caught a 43-yard touchdown, went over the 1,000-yard mark, has had a tremendous Ole Miss career, without a doubt going to go down as one of the very best in Ole Miss history. No, he's not jumping AJ or Laquan or Dante or Shea or on, but he's done more in 2 years than most ever has. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see him do it over a long stretch of games. He was always banged up. He was always hurt. Reminiscent in career, in my opinion, to DK Metcalf, who just couldn't stay healthy, and now he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. I think Trey's going to have a great NFL career, but his Ole Miss career is probably done for because he went down holding his groin early in the third quarter. And that's what I've been telling y'all here on Talk of Champions was the issue, not an Achilles injury. Some had said he was dealing with after LSU when he hurt it. A very serious groin injury. Ramped up this week, looked good. Went through all the pregame stuff without a hitch, played well, and then it happened. The nightmare scenario. But Ole Miss played well in his absence. It had played well in his absence without him for a month. We thought they'd figured it out offensively. It was actually a relief to see him catch a touchdown and kind of ingratiate so seamlessly. But was he rushed back? I mean, he didn't come back. He ended up in street clothes. What does that mean for Ole Miss moving forward? Well, you're not going to see any more Trey Harris, and that's unfortunate. But Caden Lee stepped up in his place. 6 catches for a team-high 94 yards, a touchdown, one of two that Jackson Dart had thrown. And then he just fell apart in the final 2 minutes. The defense, the top-ranked defense as far as sacks and tackles for loss, couldn't really get to DJ Lagway. But they did what they always do. Gave Ole Miss more than enough of a chance to win a football game as long as a Lane Kiffin offense is operating as it's supposed to. And it wasn't. The Jackson Dart blocking as a fullback for J.J. Pegues, I will never understand it. But all of the things that haunted them early on in the SEC schedule that made us call them frauds after the non-con where they looked great against cupcakes came back again today. All of them. They were picking on Jaden Kennedy. He had a pretty good game, but that's where they were attacking. The tight ends. Daquan Wright had a pretty good day. 4 catches, 57 yards, but targeted 6 times. But the variety, there was no running game. It was the same thing we've been seeing. Henry Parris, it was Micah Davis this time. The gimmick was fine enough, but it was just more of the Henry Parris gimmick again, and Ulysses Bentley wasn't playing. Why isn't he playing? And early on, there were questions of whether or not Lane Kiffin should make a change with Charlie Watts' offensive coordinator. I was one of the people saying that because Joe Judge, an NFL former NFL head coach, offensive guy, is on staff. But now I've changed my opinion, not about Charlie Weiss. I think Charlie has never had a good offense or a top 30 offense outside of Lane Kiffin, and it's true. Not being mean, that's his stats. That's the numbers, and math doesn't lie. It always comes back to this for me now. When you think of Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, defensive-minded head coaches, at the end of the day, they are the ones that have to answer for whether or not their defense plays well. Lane Kiffin, same thing on the offensive side. That's what he's known for. That's why he's here. And that offense is the reason why they've lost three SEC games to, quite frankly, teams they shouldn't have lost to. Favored in every single one of those games. Every single one of them. Heavy favorites. So number three, what happened to Lane Kiffin, offensive wonderkin this year? The personal or the coaching stuff and the rumors and the blah, 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 blah. 99.9% of it, Lane, you couldn't control it. It was drummed up by stupid idiots like me. Whatever. This is not personal at all. 17 points? Did you see this Florida defense earlier in the year? Did you see him against Texas? 17 points? Jackson Dart, a third-year starting quarterback. I blame him for that throw in a triple coverage, but why was he throwing it there? Why? Who called the plays for J.J. Pegues to run that way with Jackson Dart as the lead blocker? Where is Ulysses Bentley? Should you have made a change earlier in the year with your offensive staff? Should you have taken control earlier? Was it you? Because I think it was that took control in overtime against LSU and went backwards. So what happened to Lane Kiffin offensive wonderkin?
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With CSpire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
Ohio State handled Indiana, and everything that you kind of needed to happen was happening. Now it just doesn't matter. The Kentucky loss is just as bad as the Georgia game is good. And it kind of describes that dichotomy, that what Ole Miss has been all year. You could see the championship potential all over the field and in spurts, but then the lack of a running game, the questionable offensive coaching, play calling, whatever you want to call it, Charlie Weiss and Lane Kiffin, we thought they'd figured it out. After Oklahoma, those second two quarters against Oklahoma, they'd figured it out. We'd even talked here on Talk of Champions about whether Lane Kiffin was doing well enough as a CEO. We talked about these things, but they figured it out. We gave them all the credit in the world for that. And then Florida came. What now? What does it mean for NFL guys? Like Jared Ivey is now a top 100 player, according to Dane Brugler, for the NFL draft. He has worked his way into that. Do they opt out? How does it affect what Ole Miss owes them in Grove Collective money? These are all crappy decisions that now have to be talked about and worried about instead of just go beat State in the Egg Bowl because of a gut punch loss at Florida that showed, unfortunately, that Ole Miss had not turned a corner. Ole Miss had not done an about face. You know how Scrooge is reformed at the end of A Christmas Carol? Oh, happy day. Ole Miss was not. It reverted to its worst instincts in Gainesville that led to an absolutely crushing third loss on the year. Makes the Kentucky loss every bit as bad as we thought it was, worse than fourth and 25. Because now it is the anchor that is keeping you out of the playoff. You could have suffered maybe this with that win. Probably not. But it should have never come to this. It should have never come to this. And it all falls again at the feet of Lane first. Because it is his program. He seems like he's here to stay. And I say that genuinely. I could be wrong. But it seems like he's here to stay. I think this year has been an incredible year of growth for him on and off the field. He was too late to take action, in my opinion, on the field with some things. But it's stupid football. But stupid football is all this is about. And a lot of people's hard-earned money went into this team being a playoff contender. And now you look at the roster for next year. All that talent is gone. Princely Umanmielen, Walter Nolan, Jared Ivey. Hopefully Chris Paul will come back. But Chris Paul could go. Absolutely. Trey Amos gone. Best single coverage cornerback in the SEC according to Pro Football Focus grading. The offensive line, what happened? Why did you not try Caleb Bourne? Why did you not try Jeremy James more, play them more, multi-year starters at Ole Miss? When you won a program record 11 games, both of those guys were starting for you. Jerquan Scott had a bad day against Florida. Go back and watch the film on 65. He ain't going to grade well. But now, again, you, Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss football in 2024, you do not grade well because you told us that anything short of the playoff was a failure going into it. 4% odds, not looking good. Thank you for joining me on this After Florida edition of Talk of Champions. I'll see you next week. Thanks to Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs. Sign up at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, and Philly Devon 3 for $1. I didn't see that one coming. Be good to each other. I'll see you next week.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.